Today's daf is daf Nuntes. So we got to around 10 lines down in Nuntes Amar Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Rabbi Yosi, Glili, Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Davar Echad, that he says, both Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shmuel say the same exact thing. What is that thing that they say? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosi, Glili, Hadamran. We saw this yesterday, which is what? Where's that Gemara? I think on the bottom of Nuntes Amar Beza was. I could be wrong.
I'm sorry, where'd you get up to?
Around 10 lines down. So Rabbi Yosi Glili says that if the animal eats some of the food in the sadeh, so the way we assess the value, how much damage he owes, is based on whatever's left over in the field, what in theory could grow more, right? I'm trying to find that line here. He said, whatever's left in the field, b'mishuyar, he said, but I don't see where the Gemara is on the daf ninchas. But anyway, that's his din, that's what he says. Oh, here we go, on the bottom, right there. There we go. You see the last three lines of Nunches and Beis? Rabbi Yosi Glili Omer, Nidam b'mishuyar shebo. You assess it based on whatever's left over in the field. So you look at Rashi in the bottom of Nunches and Beis. I'm sorry for going back and forth. Rashi says, b'mishuyar shebo, Rowan es ha-nosa. You look at the leftover in the field. Lefi ma-shetala kol haruga, varuga b'meya katsir mishalim. Based on what in theory could grow in this field, that's how you assess it. So let's say, you know, you have a whole field and there's one patch that's been eaten by the animal. So you look at the whole field, how much it could grow to its capacity, that's how much. That's how you assess it. So the Gemara says, that same line of Rabbi Yosi Glili is exactly what Rabbi Shmuel says, which is what? The Gemara says on Nuntes now, Rabbi Shmuel Desanya, Meitav Sadehu Meitav Karmo Yishalim, says the Pasuk. What does that mean? Meitav Sadehu Shal Nizak, Umeitav Karmel Shal Nizak. You pay according to the best of the land of the Nizak, the one who's been damaged, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Gemara will explain what that means in just a second. And in contrast to that, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Lo Ba Kasav El Lagavos Linezikin Min Ha'idus. We discussed this earlier in the Masechta, that this pasuk is coming to tell me that when the Nezikin collects, it collects from the best of the property, which sounds like the same thing as Rabbi Shmuel at this stage. Just look at Rashi for a second, four narrow lines down. Rashi says, Linezikin Min Ha'idus. Osa Shuma Shashamu Bezdin, Mea Omesaim, that amount that he owes, that 100 or 200, whatever it is, yigva karka b'meya o b'masayim min ha'idus shebenichasav. You collect from the best of the mazik's property. So that's machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva on the surface, whether it's based on the nizak or the mazik's best property. And then the Gemara says, quotes the Brayso, v'kavachomer lehekdish, and when you have to pay nezik to hekdish, you also pay from the idus, from the best part. So then the Gemara says, before we got into the full raya yet, but lo tema krav idi bar avin. Don't say like him. The amar rav idi bar avin kigon sha'achla ruga bein harugos v'lo yadinon. It's not a case where the animal ate in some patch among the other patches, and you don't know which type of garden he ate from. Ikhusha have ishmeina have. You don't know which one. The amar kum shalim shmeina b'metav. You don't say, now, therefore you should pay the best. Just to, we're not really sure. So always pay the assuming it's the best property. We don't say that. Dika hashta. We don't say pay the best if you don't know. Because my time, of haraya. If you don't know, so you always pay the smallest amount unless you can bring proof that I ate from the best of the lands. So what does it mean, b'metav sadeu? It's not like what Rav Idi suggested. Eloer means, and this completes the proof, b'metav dilakame, the best of that which is in front of you right now, umay nihu, what is that? Kiheach desalik, whatever is left over. So that's what he says here. So we're saying here exactly what Rabbi Yosi Glili says. You look at whatever is remaining in the field, the Meshuyar Shebo, and what that could grow to, the best of that, the capacity of the remaining growth. That's exactly what Rabbi Yishmael means here as well, that whatever is left over, you view the max capacity that it could grow to. Okay. Gemara now says, halfway down, Nun Tesom and Aleph. Amar Mar. We said yesterday that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, Bamed Vamamur, when is this true? She'achlu lulave gefanim v'yichure te'enim. So if a person eats, when is what true? Let's look at Rashi here. There's no Rashi here. So he said this on the top of the page here, actually, on the top of today's daf. But we did this yesterday. That this is all true when you assess what he ate with respect to the entire property, which he says is going to be less. If you look at the individual part he ate, that's more expensive. But if you look in the aggregate, it's actually going to be less expensive for him to pay back. It's only true when the mazik ate the grape leaves and the yichurei te'enim, things that are not so chashuv. Aval, raha, smadar, if a person ate a smadar, which is some type of a grape, a smaller grape, then Rowan also Kila. This is a diak we're making. Hasmadar, if it's a bit of a grape, which is a little bit more chashiv than just simply grape leaves, Rowan Osan Kilu Anavim Omnos Libatzer. We're inferring from here that you view the grapes as fully developed grapes. That's the implication. But Ema Seifa, look at the Seifa. The Seifa of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda's statement says, Achla Pagim Obosar, Hudi Rowan Oso Kilu Anavim Omnos Libatzer. He says, if you eat developed figs, or develop grapes, which is Bosar, then you view them as if it's the grapes are the largest they can possibly be, where the grapes that are ready to be taken off the vines. But ha, the implication is, when it comes to Smadar, a small grape, underdeveloped, Rowan Elson Kama, he yafa, the Kama, Haisa yafa. You don't look at it as if it was a fully developed grape. You look at it how much it was worth, the field was worth then versus now. So there's two opposite implications we're learning. What did they say about Smadar? Because again, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda doesn't say anything explicit about a Smadar, about a small grape. We infer one thing from the Reisha, but we infer the opposite thing from the Seifa. So what does he hold about a Smadar? So Gemara explains, Amar Ravina, Ravina says, Kroch v'tani, you have to read everything together. Meaning, Bamed v'amurim, what he says, when do you assess the damage with respect to the entire field? That's only Bizman Sha'achla Lulav Egifanim, Yichri Tainim. When you eat something very insignificant, then you assess it based on the entire field. Aval Achla Smadar Pagin, Obosar, Smadar Pagin Obosar, three things. A small grape, Pagin Obosar, Pagin is the larger figs or a larger grape. All those types of growths, Rowan El San Kilu Anavim Omnos Libatzer, you view them as if they were the max size, even though they weren't actually, as if they were grapes that are ready to be plucked off the vine. That's what he means to say. So then the Gemara says, is that if that's how we're understanding Rabbi Shimon, Ihachi, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Hainu Rabbi Yeshua. We said yesterday that Rabbi Yeshua is another opinion up above, and he says, you always view the grapes, look at the top line of the test, right where we are, the very top line, Rabbi Yeshua says, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Rowan al-San Kilu Hein On Anavim, Omnos Livatzer. It's exactly what Rabbi Shimon says. Whenever a person eats grapes, no matter how big, no matter how small, you always view them as if they were in the max size. So now the way we're interpreting Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, turns out he's exactly what Rabbi Yeshua says. So what's the difference between the two of them? Ikibinayu, kachash gufna v'lo mesayme. Kachash gufna is, let's say you weaken it. Look at Rashi. Around a little bit more than halfway down the Rashi's. Kachash gufna, if the gef and the vines or the grapes get weak, lenakos minatashlumim mashiachishu hanavim begifanim. If you somehow weaken the grapes, im yamdu sham ad habatzir, shetamid yonkim lachlos hagefen. If somehow you weakened it, I don't know, you put a hole in the grapes or the moisture started to come out of some sort, then now it's not going to grow and develop the way it's supposed to. Is that going to be considered nezek or not? Is that something that you take off as well? In terms of the payment. So 1 second, is that what's... I'm not understanding Rashi fully here. Okay, Rashi is again, Lenakos min atashlum, you subtract from the payment, Mashiachishu hanavim, that which the grapes have weakened, begufanim, while on the vines, im yamdu sham ad habatzer, if it were to stay there on the vines until you were actually to harvest them, shetamid yonkin lachluch hagefen, it's always drawing nutrients from it. So why are we subtracting the payment from it?
Plus it gets weaker and longer if it stays on, so therefore you're saving money by damaging it earlier.
You saved a little bit, huh? Okay, I see. So that's the nafkamina.
Can you deduct that savings?
So that's the nafkamina. So the Gemara says v'lo mesayme. So the issue is lo mesayme. We're not sure who says which way though. In the side of nafkamina, who's going to be machmer? Who's going to be mekel? So Abaye says no. Amar mesayme umesayme. No, I know exactly who says what. Who says you should subtract and who says you should not subtract it. Who says which one? So Gemara says, "Man Tana dechayish lekachash gufna." Who's the one that we are concerned of the weakening of the gefen while it stays on, and you would subtract that amount that he saved it from getting any weaker? That is Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. He, Desani Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, Ones Einu Meshalim Esatzar, Bipnei Shesofa Litzar Tachas Baila. So we know when a person is ma'anis a woman, so there's tzar, of course, involved. So even though there's a tzar, he says you don't have to pay the tzar that the woman gets, all that pain and discomfort. Reason is because even though she was in pain now, ultimately she'd be under pain anyways, but then she'd be under when she gets married to her husband. So therefore, there's no payment of tzar. And in response to that, the Chachamim say, "Amr lo, eino domen nivelas beratzon linivelas bonus." That doesn't make sense. This maybe be a Rishonim, it might be Tsar. But eino domen when it's willing, done willingly by her, versus when it's done against her will, bonus. And therefore, the Ma'anis would have to pay Tsar. So how does this machlokes of whether the Ma'anis has to pay Tsar or not have to pay Tsar, how does that connect to the case of weakening the Geffen? So it says Rashi. Rashi doesn't say much here. Rashi says here, Shesofa litzar. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda said, you don't have to pay the Tsar, because even though she received Tsar now, eventually she would have gotten Tsar when she gets married. Says Rashi, Alma menachem minatashlumim kifi mashi asida le'achish. So, you know, there's a certain amount now, but we subtract the Tsar as well from the payment because she's going to get Tsar down the line as well. Anyways, so here too also, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says one would subtract that potential weakness that would have taken place by remaining on the vine a little bit longer. I'm completely comfortable with this connection here, though.
Talks about a grape. Of course, a grape is a religious item. It's a grapes can become wine. And it's the halachas that are on much of it. But it's very interesting, you know, because even the juice from the grape, the guy pushes, you know, the person squeezes it, it's also already considered yayin sometimes.
And therefore what?
And therefore the value of the grape, it's like it's an elite for itself. You talk about an apple that's not ready, plum that's not ready, but a grape is really in its own category.
Okay.
It also has to do with the sun, how much sun the grape gets, depending on what kind of wine will be used. So it has to do with the brick factors, how much, the more sun the grape gets, the sweeter it gets.
Okay, but again, I don't know much about grapes, but apparently here, the longer, if it stays on for too long, at some point, it does get weaker itself.
The vine itself,
not the grapes?
No, not the grapes.
So you're both right. So the grapes get better and the vines get weaker.
Right.
Beautiful. Okay. Fine. The Gemara now says four Y lines down. Amar Abai. Abai says, Hani Tanai Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Amru Davar Echad. They both say the same thing, which is what? Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Had Amru, and that we said above, which statement of his above? About the Tsar point, I imagine. That one about here the case of that the onus does not pay tsar. Okay, so and the reason being because you know she'll get tsar anyways in the future. So the fact that tsar happens now, it's going to happen to her regardless. So that's the same exact thing as honey tonight. The following tonight.
She would have gotten tsar later.
Yeah. Yeah. No matter if she gets it today, she's modest. Yeah.
She gets it now, and she's not going to get it later.
Right. So she would have gotten it later. So instead, she's getting it now instead of later. But either way, she will get it. Mars Mahi, the Sani Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nechi Chaya, Benazai Omer, Nechi Mizonis. What does this mean? So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Nechi Chaya, Bidme Vlados, Kamari, we're dealing with the value of children. The Menakelo, Masha Baal Asilitain, Bishar Hamialadis, that you subtract from that amount what the husband in the future would have paid the Mialadis, the one, the OBGYN. And Veneza Kaisha Shi Nezuka Umitzares Achshav Yosem Yishesh Lachaya. And now, you know, when she's talking about it, it's a situation where she got hit and she had a miscarriage. So that pain, the Nezek losing the Mevlados and that pain she's going through now, Yosem Yishesh Lachaya, more so than if she had a midwife helping her, Harehu Mishalim Leisha Nezek Vitzar Venimta Kol Bechlal Umidve Mevlados Shinosin Baal Menachin Tzchar Chaya. So the Mei Vlados, though, to get the fetus out of the woman, so you subtract what he would have otherwise paid towards paying a doctor, a midwife, to take the child out. So that's what you subtract. So when assessing the damage someone caused a miscarriage, you take off what you saved him of what he would have otherwise paid the doctor. And Nechi Mezonos, says Rashi, means, Shutzarach lehosif al mezonos isho bimei kishua. During labor, labor and delivery. So if she needs more, she's in pain, she needs to eat. Alma menachin mashu asir lehotzi. So all that money he would have paid during that the very costly labor and delivery, that's what he subtracts. So is it the price of the doctor or is it the price of her eating? So the Gemara says, man da'amar nechichaya, the one who says you take off the price of the doctor, kol shekein nechi mezona, certainly you would take off the price that she would be eating more during labor and delivery. Uman damar nechi mezonos, so you take off her eating, but you don't take off the amount of money of the doctor or the midwife, the Amar Lei, he could say to him, is Sadidi Pikicha. My wife is very intelligent, she's very, very smart, and he velo ma'abet chaya, mibay chaya, she doesn't need a chaya. She could have done this on her own, I didn't have to pay the doctor. I could have done this at home birth without any help. So therefore, you cannot force him to take or subtract what he would have otherwise paid for the chaya. But either way, you see from here, they both say you subtract some future loss he would have paid, you could take it off right now, just like the case of the gefen, the wine, the grapes, and just like the case of the tsar by the ma'anes case. Gemara says the last few lines of Nun Tesamun Aleph, Rav Papa Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yoshua, Ovid Uvda Kevasei de Rav Nachman Beshishim. There's such a situation, going back to this figure before, how do you assess the value, where an animal ate someone's from someone's field, and he passed like Rav Nachman, you have to look at it as if it was one of 60 fields, which is going to be a kula for the mazik. Lishnachwina, the other version goes, Rav Papa Rav Huna Brei de Yeshua, Ashamu Dikla Agav to Kitina Da'ara, they assessed a tree with respect to a small property. We pasken like him when it comes to an Armenian type of tree that you would assess it with respect to an entire field, which is not like Rav Nachman, it's more like Reish Lakish, who says you really view it independently, not as a part of a larger patch of fields. And Hilchasa Kvasi Der Papa Rav Huna Brei De Vishua Bidikla Dharma Hilchasa Kvasi Der Eish Lakish Reish Kalusa rather Bidikla Parsa. So this is a machlokas. So how do you paskin? So it depends on the situation. If it's a Persian type of deco, which is a more chashiv, when Rashi's last line chashiv hu meod v'nishim b'fnei atzmo, then you could assess it on its own. But if it's something that's not so chashiv, so then it only has some level of value if it's part of a larger field of trees. And that's like Gemara Paskins.
And 60 is that if you have 60 trees and now you're missing one, how much
is
worth?
Exactly. How much decrease in the value? Okay, Gemara says the last two words on the Amud here. Eliezer Zira, the Eliezer Katan, in other words. The Havasaim Misane Ochme. He was wearing black shoes. Rashi says, Minag Avelim. The Kai Beshuka Din Harda. He was standing in the Shuk wearing these black shoes of Avelis. And there's a whole toast, by the way. We can look there. We have time. We have extra time here. We probably look at this Tosus on the top here. Just look at Tosus quickly on the top. Have a Messiah, Messiah, Uchme. Mashba Shaloha, you were Gilim, but Menelam Shechorm. They wouldn't normally wear black shoes. I'm looking around here. Everyone here, almost everyone, has black shoes here. So they used to not wear black shoes here. So, Vachain Mashba Beseda Tainios Elu, it says, the Kamar Adahachi Asa, who gavered the Simon, Messiah, Uchme. A person came along the way who was wearing black shoes. Below Rami Chute, he wasn't wearing a tzitzis. Kadeshli Akirbo Shuhudi, so people should know he was a Yehudi. He was the guy who was one of the people who Eliyahu Navi said he's Zochet Olam Haba, because he would put the men and women separately in the jails and make sure nothing would happen with bad. So he also found out when the different gezeiros were coming amongst the Romans to tell the rabbis how to daven, so he wouldn't dress like a Jew. And one of the ways you would tell was not only was he not wearing tittis, he was also wearing black shoes. So we see that Jews didn't wear black shoes normally. The Tema, he says, the Perkama de Beitza, Tanan Aim Mishalchin Minal Love on Beyomptov, Mipnesha Tsarch Beitas, Hagir Lashiro. You can't send a white shoe because a white shoe people don't wear it. They have to first blacken it. It wasn't ready, it wasn't right for Yomptov, so you can't send it on Yomptov. Mashu Shalah, you know them, El Shacha, they would only wear black shoes. So there's a steer. What kind of shoes would they wear? Vomer Rabbeinu Tam, Da Minal Vadai Hayashacha. Certainly the shoes are black. Avaharitsuos, how you live Levanos. They were white shoelaces. Umisane Ochme Dahacha, and they would wear black laces. So the case of black shoes, but the laces were normally white. So this case here, where the Eliezer Kata is wearing black shoelaces as well, that is the minag of the Avelim. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara says he was wearing black shoelaces now. And the Shuk of Naharda. And Ashkechu, two lines down now, the Bay Reish Kalusa. And the house of Reish Kalusa saw him dressed this way. So Amrle, they say to him, Maishna Hani Misani, why are you wearing such shoelaces? Amrle, who he says, the Kamavlini Ayushalayim, I mean Ma'avlini Yushalayim, very appropriate for these next 2 weeks. Amrle, they said, At Chashivas Lisabul Ayushalayim, you're so Chashiv that you're the only one who's Misabul and Yushalayim, no one else dresses like that. Savar Yehorahava, they thought he was Bal Gaiva, that he was the best person, that he was the greatest person, that he could Misabel Nushalayim and nobody else does. They took him away and threw him into jail. Now the Beirish Kalusa was a very, very aggressive group of people. The Gemara and Babas and elsewhere talk about they weren't such kosher individuals. So they felt the need to take this individual and they threw him into jail. So Amar Lahu Gavir Abban. He said, "I'm a God Hador. You can't throw me into jail like that." Amulei Menay Yadan Yadin. How do we know that you're really a Gavir Abba? Amar Lahu. So he says, "Let's have a debate." Oh, Asin by Minay Milsa. Ask me a question. Oh, Ana Ibai Minaychu Milsa. I'll ask you something, and we'll see who wins. So Amulei. They say to him, "Boy, Ath, you ask us a question." So Amar Lahu. He says to them, "Hi man, de cut kufra, my mishalim. A person who cuts down a Rashi says kufra is but tamarim kibosir ba'navim. A person who cuts down dates while they're in the full development stage. So what's halacha? What do they pay? Amrulei mishalim de me kufra. What do you mean? He cut down a date, so he has to pay back the owner another date. Vahavi tamare. So Rashi says de me kufra is eno klum limakar achshav. So they're not. You can't sell them yet." So Rashi says, so they're not quite tamarim yet. So Rashi says, "V'ha havi tamari la'achar zman," meaning, so you cut them now, you cut them short, where they're not able to be sold, but at the same time, if you let them grow further, they stop the possibility of growing and developing into full dates, which can be sold in the shuk. So you can't just pay what it is now, because there's also that potential growth that you stopped from paying. So he said, "Okay, you're right." So Amrlei, they said back to him, "Mishalim d'mei tamar, you have to pay the full amount of a tamar." But how do you pay a date? They didn't take a date. So they say to him, "Okay, we're stuck. You win. You tell us how much does one pay for cutting down kofre, which again are underdeveloped dates." So he says, "Amrlehu b'shishim. You pay 60. You pay it in terms of 60. He says Rashi, like we know already, three lines from the top. B'shishim imakarka dahakol b'chlal. To pay for the assessment, how much the decrease of the entire karka went down with the loss of these kufra. So says the Gemara further. Amulei, they say to him, "Man amar kvasich." So who holds like you? I mean, maybe you just created this. Who says this is the true halacha? Amulei, so he says, "Hashmuel chai ubeisdino kayim." Shmuel is still alive, and his Bezdin is still in functioning. Shadu kame de Shmuel. You send to Shmuel and ask him what the answer is. So Amar Lahu, so he says to the Bei Rish Galusa, Shapir kamer lechu b'shishim v'shafku. He said, "Correct, the way you assess it is with respect to 60 other ones," and they release him from jail. Okay. Mara says further now, Rabbi Shimon Omer achla peres gemurim v'chulei. Mishnah told us that if the animal goes back to the case, if the animal falls into the field or goes into the field, if he eats peres gemurim, he has to pay back peres gemurim. My time, and what's the reason for this? Hadama rachmana uvir b'sade acher. And you ate from the field, the other field. What does that mean? Milamed sheshamin agave hasade. That you assess it based with respect to the entire field. One second, we were bringing a proof for Rabbi Shimon here. I'm going to make sure. Okay. So the Gemara says, when do you assess the value of the fruit with respect to the entire field? Hanemile mide detzarach lesade. Only things that require the field that are not fully ripe and developed yet. But honey, these fruits, which are peres gemurim, came into lotzich lasada. They don't need the field anymore. The peres gemurim benayu baishlumi. You pay them independently. So that's what's going on here. If the animal eats fruits that still need the land, so then you have to pay it with respect to the entire land. If they're fruits that are independent that don't need the land anymore, then you view them independently, and that's how you pay them. That's what Rabbi Shimon was teaching us.
They're fully grown, they're just not ripe yet.
No, they're fully ripe. Also, peres gemurim, to my understanding, means that they're fully ripe. And they don't need the fruit, and they don't need the field anymore.
Harvested or not harvested?
It doesn't say here whether they're connected or not connected to the ground. But let's assume that even if they are attached to the ground, it would seem if they don't need the ground anymore, and they would eat them, you'd have to pay them peres gemurim. That's what I think. But I don't know. The Gemara doesn't tell us whether they're attached or not. Lechor, if they're detached, I think it would be pashut, that it would be, of course, you pay them peres gemurim. So it has to be a case of where they're still attached, but they don't need the ground anymore. Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna bar Chia, Amar Rav Yirmiya bar Ava, Dan Rav ki Rabbi Meir, Upasak Hilchas like Rabbi Shimon. He judged the case like Rabbi Meir, but he paskin like Rabbi Shimon. What does that mean? Dan Rav ki Rabbi Meir. He taught a case. He judged a certain case like Rabbi Meir, which means what? The Sanya. Who's Rabbi Meir, by the way? Which case is Rabbi Meir? He's the one who holds. We'll see in a second, I guess. The signing, the Brisa tells us, "Kasav l'rishon v'lo chasmalo, l'sheni v'chasmalo avda k'subasa divrei Rabbi Meir." What's going on here? So a husband has a certain karka that he has a lien on for the woman, for his wife to collect the k'suba. they get married, and the ksuba says, if we get divorced or if I die, so you could collect from land, this land here. So what happens is the husband decides to sell the land, even though there's that lien that the woman has. He could sell it, that's fine. But if the husband dies or divorces her, so the wife could always take that property because there's a lien that she has on that land. So he signs and writes, sells the land to this guy Reuven. So then Reuven goes over to the wife and says, could you sign on it to be mochel that if ever you need to collect the ksuba, you won't collect for my land? She's not willing to sign. I'm not doing that. That's my, I have a lien on that property. So the first time, so she doesn't sign on it. Then the husband sells it to a second person. And then the second person goes over to the wife again and says, could you sign off on this so that you don't have a lien anymore? And the second one, she signs off, v'chasma lo. The lach is of the ksubasa, divi Rabbi Meir. She loses out on the ksuba. The fact that she signed off on it said that she was okay and she was mochel. She has no lien anymore. That's according to Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Yechola hi shetomer nachas ruach asisi lebal. Atem malachem alai. I was doing nachas ruach. My husband wanted to sell the land, so I signed it on his behalf. I didn't want to be mochel. I just wanted to support my husband in making the purchase, a complete purchase. But not by any means am I indicating that I'm mochel on my lien here at all. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's statement. And even if she signs it, that she doesn't lose the ksuba. So what happens here? So he judged a case like Rabbi Meir, okay, that he passed like Rabbi Meir, that she does lose the ksuba. And in terms of Pasak Hilchasa Kabishim, I'm not sure the correlation between these two different cases here. Seem completely unrelated, but they pass the Hilchasa Rabbi Shimon, Kihad the Tan Rabbi Shimon Omer, Achla Peros Gemurim, Mishalames Peros Gemurim, Im Sasaim. And there's once another case, again, two random cases, this at least the second case does relate to our Sugya, that a person, an animal rather, ate some Peros Gemurim in someone else's field, and he passed can view the Peros as independent from the rest of the property. Okay. Says the Gemara further now, quotes the new Mishnah. A person decides to collect all his wheat and barley and make a pile in someone else's field. Okay, that's trespassing. But now the owner of the field, his animal goes to the back, the cow starts eating all this wheat. Pater. You have no right to place your wheat in my property. I have no obligation to protect it. You put it in my yard, my animal's going to eat it. I'm pater from paying you. If my animal gets damaged from your wheat, it gets him sick, it slips on the wheat or something, then you as the Baal HaGadish, chayv, you have to pay because you had no right to place that in my field. But if I gave him permission and he put it in my field, then chayv. Who's chayv? Chayv, if my animal were to eat his gdish, and I would be chayv. So Gemara concludes from here, Lema Tanan de lo Karebi. Let's say our mission is not like Rebbe. Why? De Karebi Hamar Adshi Kabbalah Bal Habayis Lushmor. Rebbe says, if I give you permission to put the wheat in my yard, I'm not chayv to pay damage. You could use it, but you know, at your own risk. Our mission says, the moment I allow you to put in my property, even though I don't accept upon myself explicitly the chiv achrayos, I'm still responsible. When I say you're allowed to, it's as if I'm saying I'm also going to make sure I'm not going to damage it. But according to Rebbe, he says, no, I can say use it, but use it at your own risk. And I'm potter unless I explicitly say, Achi Kabbalav Achrayos. So our Mishnah is not like Rebbe. So Gemara says, Amar Papa, Papa says, no, Hacha Benetar Be Dori Eskinan. We're talking about a Shomer who has a whole, the threshing field, right. I have a big threshing field. I have acres and acres of land. I let everybody use it to compile all the wheat and make the bundles. It's all yours. So the moment I give you access, that's in essence I'm saying to you, I'm going to watch out for it as well. That was understood for such a Baal Gadish to do. That's when even Rebbe would agree, even though he doesn't explicitly accept the chayos, it's implicit. But in a regular case where I've got a backyard and you ask to use my property, I say yes, that does not imply that I'm also going to take upon myself any achrayas as well. Let's do the new Mishnah coming up. Mishnah now says, HaSholeach Esa Be'era B'yad Cheresh Shote V'Katon. If I hand over a flame to one of these individuals, I'm Pater B'dini Adam V'Chai B'dini Shemayim, because I didn't do this. I gave it to them, and they're the ones who took it to the house next door and burned it, not me. I'm Pater, but at the same time, it was irresponsible of me to give something dangerous to someone who doesn't know how to be responsible. So I'm chayv only b'dinei shemayim. Shalach b'yad pikech ha-bikech chayv. If I give a flame to someone who's capable and he caused the fire, he's responsible. There's no ein shliach l'dvar vera. I didn't send him off to do that. That was his responsibility. Echad hevi es ha-or v'echad hevi es ha-eitzim. One guy brings the fire, one guy brings the wood. Hameviyas ha'itim chayiv. The guy, we're talking about in order here, the guy who brings the wood, he's the one who's chayiv, says Rashi, di lav achron kama lo avid bindi. If the last guy didn't come, the first guy wouldn't have done anything. First guy's a little flame, a little pilot light here. Doesn't really do much here. Because he added all the wood to it, the second guy, he made the flame big and that caused all that damage. And let's say, echad hevius ha'itim. First guy brings a pile of wood. And then the other guy, echad hevius ha'or. Then the guy lights the fire. So hamevius ha'or chayiv. The last guy is always responsible. You obviously need both parts. But whoever is achron is chayiv. Ba'acher, v'libe. Some other guy comes and starts to blow it and fan it. So hamelab chayiv. The guy who fans it is the one who's chayiv. But let's say, libsa ha'ruach. The wind comes and fans it and makes it go big. Then kulam p'turin. No one is responsible there. So Amar Reish Lakish says, Mishmei Dechizkia, Lo Shanu El Shemaslo Gacheles V'Liba. The only time, going back to the Reish of the Mishnah, where we say, if I pass it on to a Cheresh Shot V'Katam and Pater, it's only a situation where I hand him over the coals, where there's no actual flame there, and the Cheresh Shot V'Katam and blows the coal in order to make the flame come up. That's where I'm Pater. About Maslo Shal Heves, if I give him an active fire, a flame, Chayiv, my time on, Maisav Kagarmelo, I caused it. I gave him a flame that's very, very dangerous. Then I would be responsible, even though I gave it over to a Cheresh Shoter Kata. Rav Yochan argues and says, Amar Afilu Maslo Shal Heves Pater. Even if I give him over a flame, I'm still going to be Pater, my time, what's the reason? Tzavsa the Cheresh Garmelo. What's the Tzavsa? The what? They're holding it. The Cheresh who was holding it, he caused it. So, fine. The fact that I gave him a flame here now, he brought over to the house over, he's the one who brought it, and it's his, you know, he's not Chayiv, but it's his Maisav and not my Maisav, and that's why I'm Pater, even in the case of giving him over a Shalheves, Lefi Shita Rabbi Yochanan. So you're not Chayiv, says the Gemara, the last line here, V'lo Mechayiv Ad Shimshalo Gavzo, you're not Chayiv until you give him some dry wood, Salsa, which is Eitzim Dakim, some small wood chips, and the shraga of flame, tahu vade maisa di de garmel. Where I gave him all the different parts, all the fire, the oil, the wood chips, whatever it is, that's the only time I'm chayiv, because I really presented him with a very dangerous situation, and then I'd be chayiv even according to Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, we will stop here. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. Pick up Mitzvahs on Monday morning.